Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of Daniel, the Old Testament book of Daniel. We're starting a new series. We're going to walk through the book of Daniel, see what God has for us with this. I do want to encourage you on a couple things. First off, be in prayer over those deacon nomination cards that you have. We'll be collecting those at the end of the service. Very important that we pray about those before we just write some names down in that. We also have tonight an important opportunity Chris told you about that we'll be sharing with the three of us that went to Puerto Rico. We'll be sharing tonight about what we experienced and what God did on that trip. Do want to encourage you tonight. I don't know how to say this. I feel awkward doing it, but in the ministry, the people of the ministry that brought us there and that we've worked with, this is our second time, the first time in 2019, and then when we came back on this one, they have a drug recovery program is what the father focuses mainly on. It's one of those programs where, hey, either you go to prison or you go into this rehabilitation program. And he gets very little money from the government to do that, and they had a branch fall on their cafeteria, their lunchroom, their kitchen and dining area that busted the roof pretty good. They got tarps over it. And our association has been accepting donations since we got back from the trip to try to raise enough to get that roof fixed. And so tonight we're going to be taking up an offering to go towards that. I think the association has raised $12,000 of the $14,000 that it was reaching as a goal. And they say it would take $14,000 to $20,000 to fix the roof and all the good things. So come tonight prepared. Pray about how God wants you to support that ministry. It's a fantastic ministry. The guys that work in that program were our translators. The guys in the program that can speak English and Spanish were the ones that were translating for us. And so it's a very big ministry there and something that I hope we can help them in their time of need. So I really felt for the past couple months that it was time to go into the book of Daniel. I read it my quiet time several months ago and just opened my heart up to the whole book. What most people remember about Daniel is the lion's den and the fiery furnace. That's about all we get from the book. Two amazing stories that we should remember, and it kind of just got with me different this time as I looked at all that went along with those two amazing stories that we've all heard about for most of our lives. It's going to be an interesting thing because it's not going to be typical. I kind of just want to walk through it verse by verse and just kind of expositor, whatever you want to call that, the verses and what they mean and how they can teach us and what we can learn even from this Old Testament book. But this week, we sent some men over to Huntsville to work on a floor at a church plant over in Huntsville. And Thursday, me and Tony were kind of getting it started. We were trying to get out of that first corner so that we could have guys working in multiple areas, because when you get started, it's just hard for more than a couple people to be there and doing it. And me and Tony, we got in a rhythm. We started feeling pretty good about ourselves. For guys that this is not our profession, we really got to program a lot of trial and error. We messed up a couple boards, hate to say that, but then we finally found our groove. And I made the comment to Tony in there, hey, I could do this for a living. And then I woke up the next morning and my legs filed a formal protest because they had never squatted that much, I don't think, since I played catcher at 15 years old. And then I went back and tried to pretend like I was okay and did another day of it. The next day, we finished the floor up. And then I got up Saturday, and it was really, really. Michael, he laughed at me, so I'm sure he's not sore at all. But I had to get up yesterday and cut grass. And if y'all's grass is anything like my grass, I cut it 3 days ago on the front yard, and then I didn't cut it in the backyard, so it took me 2 hours to cut the backyard twice. I just had to run over it again, and then I tried to blow it all into one pile so I could rake the clippings up and get rid of them, all that good stuff. And then the front yard had to redo it again because it had grown so much. And when I got up to get off that mower, I'm going to tell you, I didn't get up. I slid off the mower. Luckily, it was a zero turn, so I could just break those handles and just kind of slide out of the seat and just stand there. And Heather's like, "You all right?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not. I'm really not good with this." I was glad that Austin prayed long enough for me to get on the stage so that y'all didn't see my face coming down. And I'm going to be sure to be in prayer before I start walking down. Hopefully, y'all won't hear the grimace in my voice as I'm walking down while I'm praying. But it reminds me of Daniel and what happened here in the nation of Israel has been split into two kingdoms. And the kingdom of Judah has, the Babylonians have come and sieged them. And Daniel's been taken off. And it's amazing to me in that, let's just read the first three verses. It says, "In the third year of the reign of Joachim, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, along with some of the vessels of the house of the God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his gods, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and other nobles." It's interesting there to start this verse off that Daniel attributes the fall of Judah to God, not to Babylon. He said in there, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hands of the Babylonians. He makes no apology. He makes no qualms. He said, this was God's will. God sent this upon us. It's not his fault. And it's not that he's not powerful enough to save us, but he did not save us. Therefore, he brought this to us. And it tells us in other parts of the Bible, if you go to 2 Kings, I've got it marked there. I've got it on the screen if you want to like to read it from there. 2 Kings chapter 20, starting in verse 12, says, "When Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking with the kings in his temporary shelters, and he said to his servants, 'Station yourselves.' So they stationed themselves against the city. Now behold, a prophet approached Ahab, the king of Israel, and said, 'Thus says the Lord, have you seen all the great multitude? Behold, I will deliver them into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' Ahab said, 'By whom?' So he said, 'Thus says the Lord, by the young men and of the rulers and the providences.' Then he said, 'Who shall begin the battle?' And he answered, 'You.' Then he mustered up the young men of the rulers and providence, and they were 232. And after them he mustered all the people, even the sons of Israel, 7,000. Then they went out at noon while Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the temporary shelters with the 32 kings who helped him. The young men of the rulers of providence went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, 'Men have come out from Samaria.' Then he said, 'If they have come out for peace, take them alive. Or if they have come out for war, take them alive.' So these went out from the city, and young men, the rulers and the providences, and the army which followed them." And what you see there is this pride. You start seeing the pride of Judah, that they did take serious the things. And it said that Daniel attributes the fall of Judah to God, because God is watching his kingdom slowly divulge into pridefulness. And then you see in other parts of the scripture that he just doesn't only see pride, but he sees this worldliness, this becoming just like the nations around them. Did you know in the beginning that God wished for the nation of Israel to not be like the other kingdoms? It was considered a theocracy in which God was the head of the nation. And in Samuel, and in those chapters, they were begging, the nation of Israel, begging, "Let us be like the other countries in this world. Give us a king." So he sends him a king. And from that point to the point in Daniel, you see the failures of the kings to be what it is that God wanted them to be, this theocracy in which he was in charge. See, Daniel not only tells us the fall is of God, but he shows us the spoils of war that were taken back to Babylon. The king was taken back. The vessels of the house of God were taken back. And the best and the brightest and the best looking young people that the nation produced were taken to Babylon. And I think there's something to be learned from this, something to be understood from this, is that we have experienced freedom for a long time in this country. And that freedom we often take for granted. And that freedom we often ignore. And we need to be careful that we don't understand that freedom does not come from our military, nor from our president, nor from our Congress. It comes from our God. God established this nation when it should not have been established, and he will take this kingdom when it should not be taken. Most people believe that America is too powerful to fall from the outside, but it's just weak enough to fall from the inside. And we got to see and we got to understand, when we see the opportunities for us to examine the nation of Israel, God's chosen nation, and the reason and why they have the struggles, it always comes from the people, not from God. Verses 4 through 7, we start seeing the effects of the exiles, the people that were taken from Judah and brought to Babylon, those that were experiencing the exile. Starting in verse 4, it says this: youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and had ability for serving the king's court, and he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. Now, I can assure you of one thing, that Adam would not have been taken into exile. No, I am not the brightest, I'm not the smartest, and I'm sure not the best looking. Me and Crispy chilling out in Judah as all y'all were leaving. All right. Verse 5, he goes on to say, the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice foods and from the wine from which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them were the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belshazzar, Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. And so you see the siege of Judah. You see those brought into exile. And immediately you see that those who are brought into exile start going through what is the only can be described as a brainwashing session. The moment that they're taught there, they're taught their language. And I would imagine they were encouraged not to speak Hebrew anymore, but to speak the language in which they're taught. They had to read all the Babylonian literature and all the things that the Babylonians found important and intriguing. Those were the things that they were allowed. They had their names changed. And I want to remind y'all that in the Bible, that your name was who you are. It was more than just some name that your parent liked. They had deep, significant meanings behind them. There's a Old Testament prayer called the Prayer of Jabez. We've talked about here at the church before. And Jabez, literally his name means pain. And his prayer was a prayer that he not live up to his name. Don't let me bring pain to people. That's why when big things happen in people's lives, oftentimes their names were changed. Some of the disciples' names were changed when they went to the service. Now Daniel means God is judge. And the name Belshazzar, the name that they gave him, said, may Baal protect me. Changed the God of his name. Hananiah, Yahweh is gracious. Shadrach means commander of Aku, another god of the Babylonians. Mishael means who is what God is. And Meshach means who is what Aku is. Azariah, whom Yahweh helps. Abednego means servant of Nebo. You see, the idea here was to make the Jews so taken up by the things of Babylon that they had no time to think of their own home, their own God, and their own convictions. You see, I think we as believers in this world in which we live in today, we're not taking serious the brainwashing that's going on around us. And I'm not some conspiracy theorist. I'm a little bit of one, but I'm not a large conspiracy theorist. I try not to get into politics at all. But every turn and every corner, our children are slowly being brainwashed into believing contrary to what God's Word says. Now, let me ask you a question. If we send our kids to school and they spend hours of the day at school listening to whatever the government deems necessary for them to learn, a lot of which I don't agree with, and then they come home and they spend a majority of their time at home watching videos and being inundated by stuff without the supervision of parents. I want to ask you a question. If you added up the hours that your kids are being forced, voluntarily forced, to listen to things contrary to God's Word, and you add up the amount of time that they spend in God's Word, which one's winning? So often we forget that this world is out here to destroy what God is doing. The New Testament tells us that Satan is like a lion roaming about, seeking whom he can devour. We as Baptists, we back away, we shy away from spiritual warfare, from this heavenly realm of stuff that's going on around us because it makes us nervous and we don't want to be like the Pentecostals and all this kind of stuff. But the Bible is very clear that there is great dark forces all around us. And we're walking around pretending like we're not in spiritual warfare. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've called on his name, if you've experienced baptism and you're trying to live out your life under the watchful care of God's Word and doing what it is God's called you to do, you are in spiritual warfare. And there's this slow brainwashing going on. It's happening to me. This is not just the children. It happened to us as adults, in which we cannot allow ourselves a moment of peace and quiet. You want to realize how awful we are when it comes to just being peaceful? I challenge you to do something. It's a little crude. Next time you go to the bathroom, don't take this with you. And you'll see how far we've come to where we can't not have something going on in our brain. Something going on in our mind. You'll sit there reading the walls. You'll be reading the air freshener. You'll be doing whatever you can to occupy your time. Now, it took 3.5 hours to fly to Puerto Rico. So for 3.5 hours, the only thing I could do, because I'm not a big fan of flying. I'm not scared of it. It's just when you're a big guy and you don't know the person sitting next to you, it's just an awkward just trying not to be in their space. Okay? And they put me on the wall on the way home, and I was... Anyway, for 3.5 hours, the only thing I could do was watch my phone just to distract the time. And on the way home, my phone was near about dead. And so I decided, you know what, I'll put my phone down and I'll get a book and I'll read a book. That lasted 3 minutes. And I'm like, what are you doing? This is going to make the plane ride last forever. Like the whole purpose of being on my phone was to distract myself from the time that I was spending on my phone, correct? That's why we get on our phones, to make the things that seem like they take forever to take a little bit of time. So if I can watch a couple movies, then the plane ride seems a little shorter, and then I'm okay with it. And that's become the lifestyle in which we live. And we're allowing in our kids' lives, parents, these outside sources to come in. I tell you, a couple nights ago, Evan, we put him to bed, and he was having a hard time. Because when he was in the playroom, he was on YouTube, and a video came up that scared him. And he wouldn't tell us about it until it was bedtime, and the lights were off, and that was replaying in his mind. And it reminded me of how serious we need to be on guard for our children. Because as sincere and as innocent as they are, isn't it the wicked stuff that seems to find them? We've all been there. You're on YouTube watching videos of home renovations, and in the midst of all those home renovation videos, there's one inappropriate video right in the middle. Why? Because Satan's trying to get us. In the same sense that Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel went through this brainwashing session, guys, all around us, our children are being brainwashed. Look at this next generation, their political views. That doesn't just happen. But we see a difference in Daniel than the rest of them in verses 8 through 14. It said, but Daniel made up in his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice of foods or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink, for why should he see your face looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. Forfeit my head to the king is not something you're looking to do. But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials have appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days. And let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. The King James Version in this says that Daniel purposed in his heart. He did not let the purpose of this outward world affect the purpose of his inward drive. You see, there was something different about Daniel. See, we all focus on the lion's den, thinking the lion's den just happened. You ever met somebody that thinks that success is just going to come to them? All right. That they don't have to put in the work or the effort, that they're just going to be successful at whatever they do. How does that work out for them? Not well, often, right? Now, there are some that fall into it. Yeah, that happens. But for the most of us, we got to work for what we have. We got to get out there and we got to do what we got to do. We got to give it everything that we got to try to make something of ourselves. And oftentimes we see the lion's den and we see the fiery furnace as something that these people just were able to survive. And what we see here was the inner resolve of the four of those guys is what led to those magnificent moments in the future. If you don't have them abstaining from the things of the Babylonians and purposing in their heart here and now, you don't have those miracles in the future. And so often we as believers, we walk around waiting for God to show up, yet we put none of the work in to the effort. We all want to be ready and prepared. I told you, like I grew up, my senior year, Columbine happened. And there was a story that came out of Columbine about this girl having a gun put up to her head and said, do you still believe in Jesus? And she proclaimed that she did, and then she was killed for that. And I remember as a teenager going, man, if that ever happens to me, if I'm ever in that moment, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to die, I'm willing to die for my Savior. But 18 years old, as a senior in college, I wasn't living for my Savior. I wasn't waking up to pray and to read my Bible. I wasn't having godly relationships and friendships. I wasn't really putting the work in any other means, but I was ready to die for God. I wasn't ready to die for God. Just something that made me feel good about myself at the moment. Because I'm a firm believer in every spiritual battle that I've ever got into, either I was prepared for it or not prepared for it. And it came not because of the situation that I was in, but what I did leading up to the battle. You know what would have been helpful for me to lay that floor? If I'd had stretched at any point in the past 3 years. I don't know about y'all men, but I look for reasons not to get on the ground. All right. If my shoe needs to be tied, I immediately start looking for something to put it on. I'm like, well, there's a chair. You know, I don't want to squat down. I've said my whole life, I don't want to be skinny. I just want to not have to hold my breath to tie my shoe. That's it. That's all I want, God. Just where I don't have to hold my breath to go down there and do it. All right. And there's this belief system inside of me that if I can do it standing up, then I have to get down there. And so when it came time to lay some floor, was I ready? Absolutely not. And my legs are still telling me right now that I'm not ready for that. It's been a shot at my manhood, because I've often said, hey, you know, I'll do whatever I got to do for my family. I couldn't do that. Not for more than a couple days, and then we're going to talk about something different. Adam, I appreciate you. Mr. Billy, I appreciate you. Michael, you made fun of me, so I don't appreciate you. But you see that they purposed in their heart to not let all this stuff on the outside affect what's going on in the inside. You see, they changed their language, their literature. They changed his name, yet they could not change his convictions. Listen to what Proverbs 25:26 says. Like a trampled spring in a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. I think there's a calling for people in this room that we stop giving way to the wicked. We start preparing ourselves for what God's called us to do. We start purposing in our heart, in our convictions, that we start living the life God's called us to live. Verse 15 and 16, you start seeing what happens from their resolve and their purpose from their heart. It said, at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better than and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice foods. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and wine, and they were to drink and keep, and kept giving them vegetables. You know, I was walking through Lifeway when they used to have stores, and I stumbled on this book called The Daniel Diet. I don't think that was the purpose of those scriptures right there. I don't think that God wants me to follow Daniel and be skinny. That's not the calling here. It's not to be a vegetarian. It's saying that I am going to choose to live according to the diet that I have my whole life. I looked up, and I don't know how exhaustive it was, but basically what a Babylonian diet was, and guess what? It was a lot of unclean food, pork, and things like that, that Jews would have been appalled by. You see, God blessed their health because they kept themselves pure to the life that they were used to. God blessed their knowledge and intelligence because they purposed in their heart to remain faithful to God. And God blessed their career because they understood all they had been given was of God and not of Babylon. It goes on to verses 17 to the end of the chapter to say this. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days, which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king taught with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every other matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in this realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. You see, there's something that sticks out to me in that verse. It says, verse 20, as for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than everybody else. You know, I don't know if it's prideful. I don't know if it's something we should do, but should that be our goal? In all matters, in all situations, in all circumstances, the way we react and the help that we offer and the life that we live, should it be 10 times better than anybody else? They didn't do it for their glory. They didn't do it for their career. They didn't do it because they remained faithful, and they stayed faithful unto God and the convictions that they had inside of their heart. And because of that, they were set apart. What does this mean for us? What does Daniel chapter 1 have to say to us? Number one, I want us to understand that we live in exile. In John chapter 17, verse 16, it says we are not of this world, just like Jesus wasn't of this world. We are strangers and aliens on this planet. Our calling is heaven. Our calling is in the presence of God himself. And so let's don't get caught up that this is our home, because it's not our home. Our home is on the other side. Now, one of the most amazing things happened to a church member this past week. Brother Lynn Marshall, Lynn, I don't mean to upset you, found out that the treatments weren't doing any good and they were going to stop them. So he called one of his former churches, not to give him the bad news, but to tell him the great news that he's going home to be with the Lord. That's a different mindset than a lot of people. That's a different mindset. To me, that's a Daniel mindset. He realized, hey, I got to live in Babylon, but I don't got to be like Babylon. Lynn said, hey, I lived in this world, but this world's not my home. I'm fixing to go home. You see the difference there? Now apply that to yourselves. How much effort do we give to this world? How much effort are we giving to the world that's beyond? We're living in exile. Let's not get confused on that. This world offers us nothing that God can't top. I don't care about my kids, my wife, all those kinds of things. Praise God, they're all believers and I'll see them on the other end. What's most important is not what is here today, but what is coming in the future. Number two, we are falling to the same sin that Judah did, pride and worldliness. We are allowing ourselves to believe that we're prepared for a battle that we're not prepared for. We're allowing ourselves to believe that we're stronger than we're truly strong, than we're truly prepared for. The strength that we have cannot be of ourselves. The strength that we have can only come from God. Now, anybody that's ever been through a hard, terrible moment in your life understands the difference in what you can handle and what God can handle. I've often said that God lives at the end of my rope. When I'm on the very end of my rope and I can do nothing else, that's where I find God every time. And he's always been faithful to rescue me. But we have to understand that we cannot have pride in ourselves, in our accomplishments, in our awesomeness. We can't have pride in those things. And I believe that God is calling the church once again out of this worldliness. We've allowed too much of the world into our lives. You know, the biggest problem with the Jews of Jesus' day, they compartmentalized their life. They had their spiritual life and they had their daily life, and they didn't think those two intertwined. What's the biggest problem in the American church? We have our worldly life, we have our spiritual life, and we don't think they can intertwine. What does the Bible say? We should not allow cursing and praising to come from the same mouth, which means what we do outside these walls directly affects what happens inside these walls. All right? The Bible doesn't say don't go around taking the Lord's name in vain. It says that, but it also says do not be a part of coarse speech. Do not be a part of speech that is unbecoming of a believer. So that means we can't go out in this world and talk like this world and then turn around and sing with Austin the songs praising Jesus. It says those stuff ought not to happen. Fresh water and salt water can't come from the same source, correct? So what we do in this world does affect what happens in this room. Our lives cannot be broken apart to where we have spiritual and we have worldly. They are one life. And what we do at our job, what we do at our home, what we do out and about directly affects what happens with us here in this building because they're combined. We cannot allow worldliness to no longer distract us from what God's trying to do. Oftentimes, in my life, I can't speak for your life. Oftentimes, that which distracts me most is the relationships in which I have. Whether it's with my wife, my children, or my friends. Those are the sources that Satan uses to compromise just a little bit. Number three, the world is trying to change our names. They don't want us to be Daniels. They don't want our names to have purpose and meaning. They're trying to change. The world that we live in is trying to change you from who God wants you to be to who they want you to be. And I've never seen such animosity towards the things of God. Never seen such hatred towards the Bible and the standards that it has. We must find the resolves and the conviction of Daniel. I believe if we find the resolve and the conviction of Daniel in the times and the exile in which we live in, we'll see the blessings of God fall on our lives. Not because we deserve it, because our God is just that good. I'll stand with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.